Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I don't care what anybody says. I did a good-ass job selling that. And amazing, the same argument I made last week. It's incredible how you use my own words against me, even though I knew yesterday you were going to use my own words against me, and I was using my own words against me, was the same thing that Joe Milton got brought up at the end of the show.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
20 minutes after the show, it's like they were listening in Dallas going, hey, we're going to give a fifth and a seventh for Joe Milton. And I got a bunch of, I can't believe I was willing to give up a third-round pick. I was like, I know, guys. I know. I told you. But then again, it's Andrew Berry, and we're just, it's a big drain. We're just circling it until April 24th.
We were texting with Brian Hoyer immediately, like as we started our podcast. And I was like, Brian, you were right. And he's like, no, I wasn't. And it was funny because I was saying he was right that, man, another team really is coveting Milton based on the one game.
Yeah.
And Brian kind of talked to us. He was like the first, I think he was like one of the first in the country to really bring it up in that detail. Like he was breaking down the ins and the outs,
yes, he was,
of one game that for a bunch of people was a meaningless game.
So,
and then at the same time, Brian was like, well, if they're looking for a third, they'll take a fourth. Well, then ultimately you saw what the compensation was.
Yeah, and then ended up being a fifth and a seventh. So Joe Milton's off the board, and we'll talk about that later on. We got Dane Brugler coming on at 8:20. We got Zagura coming on at 9, coming in hot at 9:45. I mean, there's a whole bunch of stuff coming on. I hate talking about what's coming up at the open of the show because I want to talk about this. You came in last night, no Cavs last night, no Gardos last night. Now they're both playing late night tonight. That's fun. Thank you very much. Which I'll be up, so I'll get to watch them both at the same time. So two sports at the same time, man. Last night, Lakers lost to Golden State. Golden State, what are they now with Jimmy Butler?
19-5.
Holy Toledo. Steph Curry, he ended up having 37 in this game. They won 123-116. And earlier this year, about a month or two ago, there was a conversation about what if we face LeBron in the finals? And I went, I don't want to play LeBron in the finals. No, I don't want to play LeBron in the finals. It makes everything look
good. All me and you do the last 2 months, because the Cavs have had the one seed basically locked up the whole year. All we've done is bicker over future opponents.
Yeah. I don't want to play. Like, all the teams. Like, okay, I'll play Oklahoma City. Yeah, Eastern Conference Finals. I mean, Eastern Conference playoffs, good God, we've been fighting like tooth and nail over that. But Oklahoma City, all right. Houston. Is Ime Udoka the coach of the year, by the way?
He ain't going to win it, but should he really be? I think Atkinson is definitely going to win. I've seen more and more. They're trying to jumble up the conversation.
Is Ime Udoka?
What about Dagenall? I mean, if they win 70 games... Oklahoma City.
Is Udoka really not going to get any chance of Coach of the Year for consideration because he was running around on the woman from Friday?
It could be an issue. Could be brought up.
I mean, didn't they say that was kind of an understanding or what?
Background info.
I mean, I know I don't like to talk about significant others, but I'm going, okay, haven't they both moved on to... Nia Long is one of the most beautiful women in America. We can't move on? No one's... Okay. The NBA's really going to – I mean, he lost his job over it. just pointing out, like, Rick Pitino got another job, and everybody's sitting there loving Rick Pitino. Like, I know what he did.
It just takes...
In an Italian restaurant.
No, that's way past.
Okay. We can't move on as people. We can't move on here.
It's
we can't do this. Yeah, okay. It still doesn't make it. I mean, did you know some of the details with Louisville and what was going on there?
There's so many stories. You just need enough time to elapse.
Apparently, enough time.
Who just got a radio show in Cincinnati?
Yep, that's a good point. That's a very good point. Maybe it should have just taken another year to air it all out, and then everything would have been fine. But either way, you mentioned LeBron, obviously. Denver, I don't know what Denver's going to be this year. I don't know. They look like garbage the other night. But either way.
I'm totally off of Denver.
Without, excuse me, other than Jokic. But yeah. I beg your pardon. Everybody else looks like garbage. Ask me the question about who else.
Okay.
What about who?
What about Steph Curry in the NBA Finals? Like, I don't think they're going to the NBA Finals. But again, in a series, Jimmy Butler and Steph and the way they're playing, and Draymond has absolutely ratcheted it up. And we'll invite another conversation.
That's in like 3 minutes.
But Draymond is playing better and better, and they're starting to walk around with that confidence again. Totally different team than, forget about the Cavs teams they played against. They're a totally different team than the Warriors team that won the championship over the Boston Celtics a few years ago.
Yeah. I don't know how I would feel about it altogether. I don't know how I'd feel about it. I think I would feel confident is the word. I mean, I'd have the same
nerves.
We've
been better than them all year.
Yeah, I'd have the same nerves, but I would feel, obviously, like, you don't know what's going to come out of the West. Like, I feel like everybody who looks at the East goes, all right, Cavs, Celtics, we'll see if the Cavs can give them a run. More on that coming up at 6:45, by the way. But I think that it's kind of like, all right, Cavs, Celtics, we'll see what happens. In the West, it is this cavalcade of teams that anybody can give you a threat at any time, and I don't know if you can guarantee what happened during the regular season. Like, I would feel pretty good against Houston. Houston not beat the brakes off us at one point earlier this year?
They had that game where they were flying around like crazy.
Yes.
And then was that the same game that Darius missed the free throws?
Yes. Because I remember we came in and I said, if it wasn't for something else, people would be freaking out about the free throws.
Like, Houston just out-athleticed us, and that's what they try to do. That's basically what they're really, really good at.
I think I wouldn't have a problem taking on Steph Curry and the Warriors.
We keep talking legacies, Donovan Mitchell's legacy, and around the league. I mean, if LeBron could add another title, what this would do for so many players. But holy cow, Steph Curry going for title number 5, the Tim Duncan, Kobe threshold, getting number 5,
like doing it in the way of that.
Yeah, doing it with all these different teams. It would be awesome. It would be awesome. And can you imagine, like, we had Kyrie outplay Steph in a series when, you know, he was a unanimous MVP.
Yeah.
Well, wouldn't it be nice if Donovan Mitchell outplayed him? Or hell, Darius Garland had a great series.
I think it would be.
What would that do for those guys?
Obviously.
It changes the complexion of how we talk about Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland.
By the way, we're missing a golden opportunity here. This is power ranking territory now. I got to call it out here. This is power ranking.
Okay.
Power rank. Power rank the opponents you would want to play out of the Western Conference.
Yeah, I like this.
In the NBA Finals.
Yeah. All right.
Pretty wordy.
But no, I like it. I'm sticking my teeth into it.
Trim it down there, master of the power ranking.
I am going to go number one, the Lakers. I just love the thought of that series. I'd be nervous. I'm not going to lie. I would be very nervous.
I can't believe you're saying bring on the Lakers.
I love the storylines, and I think we can beat them.
Live is telling you all, bring on LeBron.
They don't have a big man. Like, Hachimura is going to be their guy inside. Like, I like our potential there. Number two, Warriors. Number three, Thunder. I don't like the prospect of dribbling the ball against the Thunder. They have 32 defensive players. In a league that has 37, they have 32 of them somehow.
Well, if you do it right, you don't have to dribble. You just make passes down the court.
That's what our coach used to do. He would say, all right, you guys with your basketballs, run from baseline to baseline. And we would start running, and then he would just toss the ball with his arm the full length of the court and said, beat ya! And of course, the moral of the story was that you can move the ball faster than you can do anything else with passing.
That, oh boy, his practices were obviously not designed for your enjoyment. Do you have a better name for this power rank? Then we move on to my power rank.
Let's go.
Here we go. It is wordy. I'll give you that. It's a mouthful.
The teams that are not in the time zone that we're in.
Don't be a menace to South Central while drinking your juice in the hood. Can I put Houston in there at all? They're the two seed. Come on.
It makes
it too easy. Yeah, but yeah. I can't sit there and go, well, okay, Memphis is technically the sixth seed. Like, that ain't going to work. I don't know why I sounded like Piven, New, and Stallone right there.
Ja hit a big game winner last night.
Yeah, did you see what he did afterwards?
He didn't do what I thought he would do.
Oh, he did exactly what I thought he would do.
I was thinking he was going to do way worse.
I still don't think Adam Silver's very happy about the gesture that he made.
He's going to roll out a cannon one day.
He really will. The howitzer.
Why does he have to be Clint Eastwood and El Torino after every bucket? Stop doing it.
He's going
to
go on a computer like he's doing a drone strike and go, nope. He's going to hit a button.
I would think it's an overreaction had you not had a bunch of videos made of you with a gun. If you didn't have that, I would think that the NBA has a little bit of an overreaction. I don't like him getting upset about the throat slash. Sure. I don't like him getting upset about all that. I hate that Texas gets upset about horns down and all that crap. It's like, don't do that. Anyway, hit the music again.
He's
going
to pull the clip on the grenade.
All right, power rank the things John Morant's going to use.
One.
That has gun references.
One, pull the clip on the grenade. Two, bazooka.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Three, flamethrower.
Yeah, I like that.
Oh, flamethrower is good. No, old school, very large bow and arrow that stands from the ground.
We're giving him so many good ideas. Yeah. These are going to get back to him.
Number one, Houston. That's such a cheap out, but I'm doing it. Number two, Golden State. Number three, Oklahoma City. There you go. I do not want to play the Lakers at all.
Notice how nobody even brings up the Clippers and Ty Lue, and it's like, who cares?
No. Because you don't take their players seriously.
I take a healthy Kawhi seriously.
Do you? Because I feel that him and James Harden have more important things on their mind than basketball some way, somehow.
Harden is secretly having a nice year. Very weird. But yeah, I like your power ranking. I'm getting excited because what? We got six games left.
We do.
We're almost there. We're almost to the finish.
I got some audio for you to get excited about. This is Draymond Green on NBA Today via ESPN talking about his last real chance to win DPOY.
I spoke about it earlier in the year on my podcast. I spoke about it last year with Wimby and Chet, because obviously before the injury with Chet, everybody's like, yo, Chet, Wimby. Get them young guys their credit. What they're doing is amazing. I think this is one of the last best chances I'll have. Like I said, I think I've put together a good case. I got another six or seven games to continue to make that case. But whatever happens, I think I should win it. But I do wish luck to all the guys that are in the running, because it's an incredible thing.
Did he not mention somebody?
No, he said two guys, and neither one of them were the guy who's might win it.
Who's been the favorite up until the last week.
So I'm just looking at some of the...
came out and said he'd like to win it.
Yeah, too. Evan started in a very nice Evan Mobley way, was campaigning.
I just have like Prime Sportsbook ads up, or odds, not ads.
Ads and odds.
This is, by the way, like it seems like all book. I looked up like five of them. Draymond has the best odds right now.
Unbelievable.
then Evan Mobley, then Lou Dort, then Jaren Jackson, Dyson Daniels, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. There's the top six. He's a popular figure. And
that's going to factor into this.
I hate this. He's 35 years old.
So this is his last shot. He'll never.
They love to do that in the NBA, man. They love to send you off.
This was thrown into chaos when Wemby went down with the injury, because Wemby was like an all-time runaway. But then when he went down, you start hearing players kind of politic for it. Even Evan Mobley the other night.
Yeah. They definitely support me. I feel like this year, how I've been playing, definitely deserves Defense Player of the Year.
Who deserves it?
Me, DPOY. Evan Mobley.
Yeah! It coaxed him into it.
Sounds like me telling Axel, go on. Tell him what you want. You want to order? Come on, tell him. Yes, chicken fingers. Yes. He'll have water. He doesn't like pop. He doesn't like pop. He doesn't like me. Tell him. Tell him you want to win Defensive Player of the Year. Come on. Come on. He's such a meek young man. I'm not taking shots.
So
I love the kid.
He's just been so good this year.
So meek.
We haven't done the meek Evan Mobley voice. We stayed away from it because it was kind of insulting when they weren't tough enough. When we felt like against the Knicks that they got pushed around. I feel like that Evan Mobley's gone. It's a different Evan Mobley.
There's a lot of good players out there, and I like all of them. And you know, there's Gary Payton was the glove, and you know, maybe I can
Evan. Who's maybe sort of add my name to that. Who's the best Mobley NBA player in your family? Who? Come on, say it.
You know, I got family members. My uncles were great players, and I think that those are all good players as well.
Our whole team is very together at this point, and we've been that way the whole entire season.
He does not want to say it.
I feel like that's why we are where we are, and we got to keep it that way throughout this playoffs, and that's going to take us to the end.
Did he lose?
Our whole team is together. That means I don't want to answer any of these questions, and I don't want to say anything.
I think he actually lost votes. I think people heard him, and they said, you did not make a compelling case, Evan.
Does he need, like, the Key and Peele Obama translator? Does
he
need
his own translator?
He is so amazing because you see him in person, and he is such an imposing figure
He's becoming an ass kicker.
But you
see
him on TV, and you hear him, and it's like, seriously, I'm like, oh, come on, let's go, make your order, let's go. And it's like, no, it's not like that in person. It's like, come on.
But remember, that was the Mike Tyson thing early on, that he was kicking guys' asses. And then before he went totally crazy, he was like, he was doing his lisp and praising opponents.
Saying that Evan's going to go crazy?
And then a high-pitched voice. He was such a high-pitched voice that was the running forever, and that's Mobley right now. Mobley is totally taking it to guys.
You guys
wait till he tells Draymond he wants to eat his children.
Now the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima give their thoughts on what you might have missed about last night.
Well, some news in the NFL yesterday regarding the situation with quarterbacks. One quarterback off the board for the Cleveland Browns is that of former Patriots slinger Joe Milton, who was announced yesterday to be traded to the Dallas Cowboys for a 5th and a 7th round selection. And there was some audio yesterday from Fox Sports 1's The Facility, where former Philadelphia Eagle LeSean McCoy talked about the possibilities for current Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott with Milton coming in.
I'll just be honest, man. If Dak Prescott has a postseason like he's always had, going to that next year, right? Dak, find a realtor. Because Joe Milton got talent, he can play. And I'll say this, y'all laughing all that. I've seen other quarterbacks get paid a lot of money and they move on from it.
Well, it does feel like I don't think that Dak Prescott is set in stone for the next 3 years for Dallas. Oh. I mean, I think they absolutely could move off of Dak. The problem is the money situation.
Well, it's a prohibitive contract, but Joe Milton would be going into year three of his career. Well, Joe Milton's got to show something on the field for crying out loud here.
Team that brought in Trey Lance to be the backup.
And yeah.
He was not. They said the same things then.
Joe Milton, though, I did see in a game, could actually look off one receiver to another. So that's something Trey Lance has never been able to do. His cap hit is $74 million in 2026. I mean, this is a Deshaun Watson-esque contract here. I mean, if somebody wanted to trade, but they have to love Dak Prescott. You'd have to love him. So I think we do this because it's April, it's early April, and we talk about it like funny money. It's very hard to move these guys once they actually sign these big deals. You have to be willing to take on that guy, and it's a quarterback. Are you willing to take on that type of quarterback, or would you rather just draft your own if you're one of these other teams that need a quarterback that think you can compete? Because if they're willing to move off of Dak so soon, then you have to ask yourself, why are you willing to move off Dak so soon? Are you willing to move on?
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
To Joe Milton that soon, that early, because Dak Prescott's going to start the football season for them. And for all intents and purposes, should do a good job. Now, he has been banged up before. That's where Joe Milton comes into play. But I think that's many carts before many horses right there by LeSean McCoy. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, it's good. I'm really wondering what Dak Prescott's trade value would be there in time, 3 years compared to now. Going from football to basketball, we had the the game that you guys mentioned in the previous segment, not your guys' fault, the game between the Grizzlies and the Heat last night, audio courtesy of TNT and Turner.
And here we go into the half-court set. Morant goes on where? Steph Curry.
John Morant making the game-winning shot, and also that same night making the gun gesture that earlier that morning he was warned by the NBA, hey, you got to stop doing that, man. You can't be doing that.
Just today's version of the bad boy. Can't tell him anything. It was an awesome play. Did it against a seven-footer. It was incredible. I was watching it.
It's a Val Kilmer tribute.
Yes,
Tombstone.
Exactly. What's the problem?
Thank you.
A heartfelt.
So sorry, going over from that over to...
we accept your apology,
yeah,
Mitch.
It's all good, it's all good. Going over from that to baseball, there was some interesting post-game audio yesterday as the Cincinnati Reds dropped another 1-0 game, this time to Milwaukee. They've lost three consecutive games by a score of 1-0. So if you thought the Guardians had offensive struggles... And speaking of the Guardians, former manager Terry Francona talking about his team's lack of runs.
Well, they're trying their ass off, maybe too hard. They're fighting, you know, and we're not going to have a situation where it's us when we win and it's they when we lose. We'll do this together and we'll figure it out together. And I feel, you know, nobody's happy with what's happened the last three games. We'll figure it out together. I feel strongly about that.
Oddly enough, Lima has a Cincinnati take later on in the show. Can't tell you when. That's why you have to listen to the entire show.
Have you been paying attention more?
Honestly, I haven't plugged it in yet, but still, he has a take later in the show about it.
Just the ex-Guardians, who have you been paying attention to the most? Have you even been carrying the Tito as the manager?
Josh Naylor.
I was going to ask
honestly,
about Josh
Naylor. I know you
Naylor.
Asked me earlier in the week, and I'm like, nah. I'm like, yeah, Josh
Naylor. We had Andre Jimenez home run tracker here on the segment a couple
of
times.
Yeah, well, also there was Miles Straw started out like 3-for-3 or something like that.
Ernie Clements in Toronto as well.
About Tyler Freeman.
Ernie Clement, I haven't heard that name in years.
Oh, and he came back last year. It was a whole thing. He was popular, man. There was a couple people I knew.
Who did you just say?
Tyler Freeman.
You know people?
I know a few people.
Nah, I don't believe you.
I don't believe it either.
Moving on there, Mitch.
We're going over from baseball to college basketball.
Move on to either or.
We had the NIT championship last night between Chattanooga and UC Irvine. And I have to set up the play here. This is an inbounds pass from full court. UC Irvine is down by two, and they have to get this shot off here. They get the pass off, but here's what happens, courtesy of ESPN.
Tillis hoists it deep. Loyston, he does catch it. He dumps it underneath the shot for the win. No! By Jurian Dixon, and Chattanooga wins their school's first ever NIT championship.
They got the pass down court. They get it to the next teammate, and he's 1 foot from the basket. Miss.
He missed the bunny?
The bunny.
Oh.
I mean, it was one of those bunnies.
Against the mocks.
It was one of those bunnies where you have to kind of arc it over the defender, because if he'd just gone up straight with it, it would have been blocked, but that one was tough.
Owen, what's your level of care on this story?
Why would you set him up for
that?
You're
going to
kill this kid.
No, I want to make sure. I want to make sure because sometimes I don't have the pulse of the Cleveland fan anymore. So, Owen.
I'm just going to power rank the stories that I care about. It'd be the Hindenburg crashing.
Whoa. That's a pretty big one there. The Lindbergh baby?
Lindbergh baby was going to be number two.
Always and then comes this. Back to the Lindbergh baby.
And then this story.
Still looking.
I'm sorry, I was going through some audio right now.
We're moving on to the next story.
We're moving on. This is some audio yesterday from Dan Orlovsky on the Pat McAfee show talking about, he talked about the Kirk Cousins, which we might get to later on, but he also talked about Jackson Dart and how he's interested in him as a potential top 10 pick. He also talked about what he would say to Dart if he got the chance to speak with him.
The Florida game and the way it ended has to be the conversation. If I was going to spend one sit down with Dart, I would put on the end of the Florida game and be like, talk to me about what happened. Because in the Florida game, he's awesome. He's awesome in it. And then his last two possessions, you're like, what the heck just happened? And I would want to know from him, what happened in the game? What happened? Tell me what happened to make you look like a completely different player. But I think he's going to be an awesome pro.
I want to shake his hand. I want to shake his hand. I want to shake Dan Orlovsky's hand. ESPN audio?
Yes.
I want to shake his hand. Because if I say it, everybody wants to argue with me. You said it. Everybody wants to argue with you. This is Dan Orlovsky. He knows quarterbacks. Well, I'm sure that people who disagree with him, they'll just say it was the guy who ran out of the back of the end zone, because that's what they do.
There were seven interceptable passes in the last two possessions
in
that game.
They were all that way. Not during the entire game. Those last two drives. I mean, Florida gave them the chance.
With the playoff on the line.
Right back there. I'm like, oh, my God, they're getting the ball back. Here we go. Chance to be a hero. We're watching this. I'm taking notes. Right back in. I go, you got to have that conversation. Because it was the same thing. Like, Kyle McCord. Like, I love Kyle McCord. I love this. Guys, he did when he's in a different level of competition. Now, he did have coaches that were supporting him better. I have to tell you that. But when there's less pressure, he was able to play better. When there was more pressure, I just thought he sucked. You have to be able to respond under pressure. And I think in that game, in that moment, it's like, son, you know you have a chance to go out there and go win it for your football team, and he's just roasting it into triple coverage. It looked like you're playing video games against your son who just throws go routes. That's what it was. And hey, maybe if we can find something on Lane Kiffin, that's okay. But if you notice in a lot of games, when you're in the second quarter, things are fine in Lane Kiffin's offense. You're still doing that. But when it comes to crunch time, how are you going to move the team down the field? Lane Kiffin's offense has had problems with that, granted, and so did Jackson Dart. That's a warranted conversation. And thank God Dan Orlovsky was seeing the same things we did, because it's like I've been screaming at a brick wall the last 3 months.
It's so fascinating because I mentioned the top 10 there. He said that Dart could potentially go. He doesn't think that he's going to fall out of the top 10, basically. And here we are talking about Shedeur Sanders potentially talking about falling out of the first round. It's insane.
Wow. Jackson Dart over Shedeur Sanders.
I didn't say that specifically, but there's some possibilities.
But then we got friends of ours in the media just screaming to take a quarterback, even though they think the owner is a crazy person. But the owner is supposed to be there and actually see, because as football people say that it's not worth taking a quarterback. But then you have other people saying that you're an idiot if you don't take a quarterback because you're up here. What do you guys want the guy to do then?
I'd be excited for the commentaries that would hit, the social commentaries, if Jackson Dart went ahead of Shedeur Sanders.
And that's it for about last night.
What does this say about the NFL, the decision maker?
Here in about 3 minutes, I have something to say that's going to make me very nervous, because it's the type of thing that Keith takes a video of and cuts it out of context, and I get cussed out for the rest of the weekend on. I'm going to tell you what that is here in about 3 minutes. I want to remind you that Dane Brugler joins us at 8:20, where I have to ask the question now. Is it Jackson Dart over Shedeur Sanders, even though the Browns' top brass are in Colorado today for Shedeur and Travis Hunter's Pro Day, along with a host of other Buffaloes, but they're in Colorado for the Pro Day? Find out at 8:20, and don't miss a minute of The Fan during your workday. Stream us at 92.3thefan.com or on your phone with the free Odyssey app. Want to get this off my chest. Lamar Jackson is filing a challenge to the trademark of the number 8. He's done this already once before with Troy Aikman. And I didn't notice, because Troy Aikman has the wording 8. He tried to get it trademarked. And I wouldn't have noticed, because I didn't notice when he did it with Troy Aikman. But do you know who he's challenging for the trademark of the number 8?
Cleveland Zone, Fox 8.
No. Oh. Not Albert Bell. No.
Who? Who's he going after?
He is challenging Dale Earnhardt Jr. Oh, and the dear. Pending trademark claim of the stylized number 8, and I woke up to
Kenny,
that.
Kenny, the microphone is all yours.
Give me 90 seconds. Can I have 90 seconds? I have been
a lap and a half.
Vociferous.
Owen, I yield my time.
I have been a vociferous Lamar Jackson fan, much to my chagrin, because he plays for the Baltimore Ravens. But, sir, we cannot have this. Dale Earnhardt Jr. sat there for years fighting, pining, waiting for what they call the Wicked Witch of the South. I don't say it, but Teresa Earnhardt is what NASCAR fans, that's what they call her. I don't say it, but they call her that. And they were waiting for her to release the number 8 from her grips. And she finally let the patent go. And Dale Earnhardt Jr., as the son of the legend, the Kennedys of the South, he was able to claim what was rightfully his, the number 8. And now Lamar, the man who won the 2004 and 14 Daytona 500s. A man who has 26 wins under his belt, and dare I say, has his dad not passed away, would have been at least one-time NASCAR champion. Dare I say two. Dare I say two-time NASCAR champion. When Lamar was what, in grade school? Sir, there's only been one thing that's ever beaten an Earnhardt, and that's a wall. Everybody else has lost. And Lamar Jackson will lose this one as well. You can't win a Super Bowl. You can't get to a Super Bowl. And Dale Earnhardt Jr. is going to get his patent. I love you, but you've gone a bit too far, sir. Anything against Earnhardt's is too far in my world. God guns Dale Earnhardt. Okay? Damn it, I said it. Raise hell, praise Dale.
Just wait till he comes after 88.
Well, I don't want to say anything nasty about Michael Irvin someday. I don't want to do that. I know you don't care. I care. I'm glad I got that off my chest.
You made me care. What this charlatan trying to seize ownership over a number and one that is, you know, historic.
The late great Ralph Earnhardt drove the number 8 as well.
To clarify, it's not over the number, it's over the font.
Which is ridiculous.
The stylizing of the 8 and how it kind of tilts.
And it's ridiculous.
To the left.
He had that numbering for years. And again, the late, great Ralph Earnhardt drove that number back
rest
in the day. God rest his soul.
Do you kind of roll your eyes when we get examples of this all the time, people going after, you know, in sports. It's always in sports.
Yes.
People going after certain trademarks. Cavs
trademark Cavalanche.
Well, solely because they want to profit off it. That's obviously the sole reason. But Cavalanche, had anybody else been doing that? Like, that seems like one that the Cavs could take ownership over.
Well, I mean,
but a number and a font, come on.
Ultimately, and it says here from The Athletic, if that number 8 is registered, Jackson argued Earnhardt Jr. would receive nationwide exclusive right to use the mark that is likely to cause confusion and create a false suggestion of a connection with Jackson. Again, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with being connected to Dale Earnhardt Jr.? What's wrong with that? I'd love to be connected to Dale Earnhardt Jr.
Are we going to carry these judicial proceedings live?
No.
During our show?
No.
I think it
maybe
might be,
Fatlock could show up for that one. I'm not sure.
It might be dry for some. You know, Dan Wetzel would go to all the biggest sports cases.
Yeah.
Ken, you need to go to this case.
I'm moving on from all this because I know I'm the only one interested, but I'm glad you guys let me get that off my chest.
You look like you're in better spirits.
I love
now.
The Earnhardts, man. I can't help it.
He
That's
wanted
the way
to talk
I
about
am.
This the minute I walked through the door.
Yeah,
so
we had a great big fight.
I knew you were going to bring some passion to this.
So I got another thing I have to get off my chest here, and I'm worried that Keith is going to take a video of it and again make me look bad. You guys got to hear me out here. I'm living in the moment, and I think that emotionally, this is emotions. I have the right to change my mind later on in the season. This season has turned out so far to be not as special as I thought it was earlier. You know, when we had LeBron, it was punching a ticket to an NBA Finals. And so everything that team did was a celebration. During the regular season, everything was a celebration. We had 1 week, it feels like, 1 week, where during this season, fans were like, hey, they could really beat the Celtics. They are the number one team in the East for a reason. We had 1 week of that, it felt like. And now, every time they came out of the block stumbling the other night, and they haven't started well in a game in over a month. I get that. They came out of the block stumbling the other night, and it was a war zone online. A war zone. People tweeting at me, calling them fakes and frauds, calling up Jake, calling them fakes and frauds. What are they outscoring? Was it 71-45 in the second half against the New York Knicks and won that game? I know they didn't have Jalen Brunson, which is another thing that a Cavs fan says. Don't yell at me. Don't shoot the messenger. Because I'm not the one saying it. The fans are the ones saying it. And if that's the case, then it's not as special. 61 wins is not as special. I think that there will be a day when these guys are gone and we are back at the drawing board, back in the lottery, because that's just the way the NBA works. But we'll be back at the lottery and go, man, we had over 60 wins in a season. That was pretty special. Yeah, well, we should have enjoyed it then, I'm sure. But in the right now, it doesn't feel special because now everybody's just saying, okay, yeah, but you're going to lose to the Celtics. So it was a great big parade on the way to the finals with LeBron. This is something I have to admit, and I fought you tooth and nail on it before, but it was a giant parade on the way to the finals with LeBron. Here it's just, hey, great, you're going to lose to the Celtics.
Is that a byproduct to you of the fact that we did have a team that won a title and it was the Cavaliers?
We had a team that won a title with the greatest player in the generation, arguably the greatest player who ever played the game. That's the byproduct of it.
I got to tell you, this regular season has felt special in many ways to me. I do
it
realize.
Should, it should yeah, feel special.
I do
but
realize.
I don't get that from the fans.
I
I'm
do
not
realize
that from
they
them.
Will be docked. Like the Atlanta Hawks team that won 60 games, and we've talked about how there are no comparisons. This team is better and has better star power and blah, 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 blah. But that team doesn't get remembered. And in fact, it's the opposite. They get mocked. Will this Cavs team get mocked if they don't win the championship? Or does it have to do with how they do this year, how they do next year? Like, the Atlanta team never got back. They never even were remotely successful, and then the team broke up. So that's why that gets mocked. But if this team, like, let's say they win a championship next year. Let's say they wait out the Boston Celtics, and Celtics get older, and they can't maintain their roster flexibility. They lose.
I would love it to be that way. And maybe it will be that way, but you could see how this is already going. Because I could ask him to admit, if I say it, then I'm just stupid, nasty Cleveland media always wanting the Cavs to lose. Do fans really think they're going to beat the Celtics? Because anytime I get worked up about the Cavs, you're just making excuses for them. Keep digging your head in the sand, Homer. Keep digging your head in the sand. Keep kissing the ring of Dan Gilbert. That's all I keep hearing. That's all I keep hearing. Where I'm like, 61 wins is nothing to fart at. I don't care what the NBA is in your eyes. But I just keep hearing about, you know, the league isn't what it used to be. The players aren't what they used to be. No, there are less stars. I'll grant you that. The stars are not as powerful as what they were before. That is 100% true in my eyes. But I got a 60-win team, and it's like, great, when they were winning 16 in a row and 15 in a row. That was excellent. 17 in a row was awesome. But then, now this last month, even though they're still a wonderful team, even though they still, this last month was still part of that. And what were they, 10-5, which is still a good run in the NBA?
11-5.
11-5 in the month of March. Thank you, Owen. Hey, you're going to go out and you're going to lose to Boston. This team isn't ready for the postseason. They're going out losing Boston. Okay, then I guess if that's the case, then we can't call this a special season now, can we? Hate to do it. And I know what he's going to do. He's going to cut this. It's going to go online, and I'm going to look like the biggest bastard who ever lived, and I'll be the problem with Cleveland media. Even though I'm telling you what I just keep getting every single night. Because I'm the homer.
Well, what's funny is
about the Cavs.
If they went on to win the championship, then people would be saying about how special the regular season was.
Yes, yes. So we just fit it into whatever realm we're in. Like, yes, you will be underdogs against the Celtics. I don't deny that. But all this just has turned into over the last few weeks. Well, it's great, but you're going to just lose to the Celtics.